Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is KF4TK, activating the Far-Tier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this, the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Far-Tier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. This evening I have a very brief discussion about portable voltage management. But if anybody else has a question or topics that they would like to discuss, please call now.
KJ7APV.
KJ7APV, please go ahead with your topic.
I would like people's wisdom on connectors, wire, gauges, connectors, Anderson power pole, other ways to connect, how to prepare the wires, stripping and twisting, or other methods. I think we can paint pictures with words on that. That's my request. Thank you. Back to you, Net.
Okay, Becca, sounds good. Connectors, wires, gauges, power poles, preparing wires, attaching connectors, gauges of wire to use, and all sorts of goodness related to hooking our gear up to our power sources. So great topic. Thank you for asking that. Does anyone else have a topic or question they would like answered? Please call now. Okay, with that, let's take a quick round of check-ins and, well, wait. So you see here, I'm rusty. I haven't been doing this for, what, 6 weeks, and I've already put my foot in my mouth. Announcements. I don't have any announcements. Does anyone have any announcements or news that they would like to share? Please call now.
K1HTV.
Go ahead, K1HTV.
Hey, Mike, this is K1HTV. Reminder to all that next weekend is the CQ Worldwide VHF Contest. It is a two-band affair, 6 meters and 2 meters. Starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Saturday, ends at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday. Object is to contact as many other stations around the world. You exchange your grid square, which for most of us in this area, Fox Mike 18. The folks down south might be in Fox Mike 08. But if you're not sure of your grid, go to QRZ.com, look up your call, and you'll see what grid you're in. Basically, you may operate any frequencies, except you may not operate 146.52. For those stations running FM, you could be on 49 or 55 or 58, but not on 146.52. You can use any method possible to line up contacts. In other words, you can come on the repeater and say you're going to be on 49 or 55, and just move people over that way. But you cannot use 146.52. There's a special category for stations who are mountain topping. They're calling it a hilltop category. And the regular ops can operate the full 27 hours. Hilltoppers can only operate a maximum of 6 hours. So if you want to be a hilltopper with a backpack or any kind of portable, and no power limitation, and especially for those who want to go to rare grids, any power is acceptable, they say. Try the Hilltopper category, and you can submit your score for that. So that's it. Next Saturday, hope to see you guys in the VHF contest on sideband, CW, digital, and probably FM. Back to you, Mike, K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, awesome. Thank you for that reminder and helpful information. Sounds fun. All right, let's roll with a round of check-ins, and then we'll go through and talk about our topics. So, if you would like to join us this evening, please call now.
K1HTV.
K4JNT.
X4KU. For W88QCN. Good evening, Mike.
X4KU.
K04BCN.
KS1PPY.
K4LUA.
KN4SPL.
Our Zulu Hotel.
N79BV.
AK4GG, in and out.
KJ7ATV.
K4AKO, in and out.
All right, let's hold it there. We've got K1HTV, KJ7APV, K4JNT, KX4KU, WD8QCN, KO4BCN, KS1PBY. Station ending LUA, please come again. I missed your prefix.
KO4LUA.
All right, got it. KO4LUA, KN4SPL, KM4OZH, N7IVV, and AK4GG and K4AKO, both in and out. So, all right, good crowd. Thank you, everybody. Becca, KJ7ATD, did you have any more context or information you wanted to provide for your question before we turn it around?
KF4TEK, KJ7ATV, greetings everyone on the net. This will be my my comments. No, not really. The context is putting my solar panel system back together after kind of tearing it apart by moving it. So I would prefer to keep it just as general as can be. That way we can get information about hooking up actual radios to antennas and whatever system people know about. That's what I want to hear about. So back to you, Net Control. KJ7APV.
Okay, very good. Well, since I've got the key down, I will start with my 2 cents on that. And then we'll let everybody else, of course, pitch in with their experience and opinions on things that they have found to be successful. I think you'll find that the most common quick connect connector in the amateur radio community is the Anderson Power Pole. I know that you and I had a conversation about Anderson Power Pole a couple weeks ago. The Anderson Power Pole is a genderless, relatively high current capability connector for amateur radio use. You can get contacts that are rated for 15, 30, or 45 amps that all fit in the same shell. And they are really handy for just being able to pick up your radio from your shack to your car to a go box to a field day to an emergency field exercise or what have you, and you've got the highest likelihood of meeting somebody else with compatible connectors and equipment. The one thing that you need to remember when you are putting your power poles together is a red right roof. So if I can just pull one of these out here, if you look at the
power pole came unplugged.
Switched to a different frequency. Maybe he's talking to another repeater.
Perhaps he pulled the wrong connector out.
Didn't have a catastrophic failure. We're waiting for Mike to come back to figure out what happened. I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in for connections within the shack. Not necessarily from radio to power supply. Well, even then, a very simple connector that will handle up to 20 amps is called a WAGO, W-A-G-O 221 series. It'll hold very reliably wire size 26, which is very small, up to wire size number 10, although there is a max current of 20 amps. Those connectors, if you look on, if you just Google that, and you can buy a package of them. They come in doubles, triples, quadruples, and quintuples. Side-by-side connectors. Look at a picture of them, and you'll see what I mean. They have little snap levers for each of the connections, and you can connect multiple wires to the same point using one of those. So if you have a want to use it for a plus and minus bus for fanning out your 20 amp power supply. You can use one of these. You can double stick a couple of them side by side, one for the plus, one for the minus. Just lift up the snap, shove the wire in, push it down, and you've got a very reliable connection. I've never had a failure as far as connecting to those, unlike power poles. But power poles do have their purpose, as Mike said. So let's see if Mike's back, if he figured out what happened. KF4TEK from K1HTV.
Thank you. Yeah, what happened was I moved and I pulled the head of my 7100 over on the desk, and it got turned over, and it decided to switch banks and modes on me, and then the banks switch wasn't responding, so I had to reboot it. But yeah, I'm back. Sounded like you were talking about Wagyu connectors, which I've heard a lot about but haven't tried. So I missed a lot of what you said, Rich. I'm sorry.
It's that WAGO 221 series. Check eBay or check Amazon. They're for $21. You get a large kit with many different connectors in it, and they're great.
Okay, Roger that. When did I fall off the cliff?
I don't remember exactly what you're talking about, but you leaned over. You talked red right roof. You leaned over. You wanted to get one. At that point, you went off the air. So red right roof was the last you talked about.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Sorry about that, everybody. So that's the power pole. They have little holes in the connectors so that you can lock them together, red and black, or you can actually lock them together after they've been connected to whatever to keep them from falling out. I never put the roll pin in to keep the red and black together on the cables themselves, but you might want to use the other one if you want something that you don't want to shake loose in the car. Rich has gone over the Wagos. Those are great connectors. Becca said gauges and prepping. So a lot of connectors will require crimping. I believe the conventional wisdom is that a lot of these connectors are best crimped, not soldered. The power poles will benefit from a crimping tool that you can get from PowerWorks and other places. It costs about, I don't know what I paid, $35-$40, maybe more now. It does a great job of getting a nice tight connection into the contact. It's a ratcheting crimper, which really helps get the nice tight connection even if you've got to readjust your hands a couple times. And there's other places that make that and make crimpers with interchangeable dies so that you can crimp different kinds of things like coax or F connectors or any other kind of connector. So, you know, crimper sounds like a fringe tool, but, you know, if you're in ham radio long enough, you'll end up using it a lot. And when you have one, you'll say, oh, you know what, you'll find more opportunities to use it. Wires and gauges and stripping. Heavy wire is best. And when I say heavy, I'm personally thinking, you know, 10 gauge around the shack, maybe 12 gauge for shorter runs. You've only got 13.8 volts, and you're going to be drawing, for some rigs, you know, upwards of 20 amps, and that can lead to a significant voltage drop across your cable run and your various connectors, so reducing that drop with heavy gauge wire is the way to go. When the voltage drops, your maximum, your power drops, and your rig may begin to malfunction in odd ways that aren't obvious, that are power related, if it's not getting enough juice. Witness my 2-meter radio. So you can get wire at Home Depot and the Lowe's and the big box stores. I found another great place to get heavy gauge wire for 12 volt applications is audio stores. Car audio stores and installation sites have a lot of really nice cable, flexible cable. And they have connectors and equipment to put connectors on. And I went to an audio shop in Manassas. I bought 20 feet of 8-gauge stranded copper cable, and they put some ring connectors on for me right there in the shop. So I didn't have to do it myself, and I was confident that the people who did it every day had done it and had done a reasonable job. So that's good. That's all. I think that's all I'm going to say about that. Also related to voltage and batteries is a thing I learned about last week that I thought might be useful for people who are putting together go boxes or emergency power applications based on batteries, is something called a voltage supervisor. So those of you who have worked with Raspberry Pis or Arduinos or radios, as we just said, when the voltage goes below the nominal operating voltage, things start to get a little weird. The device may continue to work, but at some point, as the voltage drops, it's going to start misbehaving, especially devices with microcontrollers in them. And the thing is, if they start to misbehave, then as the voltage recovers, if the voltage recovers, if you have a solar panel or something, they are going to continue to be in a confused, latched up state at times. So what you really want is you want your device to be positively controlled to be disabled if the battery voltage falls below a certain level. And the really tricky part is you want your device to continue to be disabled and not running until the battery voltage comes up to a suitable voltage. And lots of things will kill power to themselves when the battery gets too low, but you might want an opportunity to do an orbitally shutdown or to have a little warning before that happens. So a voltage supervisor is a device that will let you do that. These are semiconductor devices. They are small and cheap. I looked some up on DigiKey before the net. They were just, you know, 40 or 50 cents a piece. And what they do is you connect them between the voltage supply, and they have a third pin that goes to the enable pin of whatever device it is you want to control. So, you know, Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and ESP32s and all those things have an enable pin, which if you bring it low will or high will prevent the device from running. And so the voltage monitor monitors the voltage. A voltage supervisor monitors the voltage and keeps that enable pin disabled until the voltage is stably above a certain point. And they're available in a wide range of voltages. And so you just pick the one you need. And if you don't see the one you need, you can pick a different one and wire up a voltage divider because that's easy. So thought that would be of interest to folks who are building GoBox type or just field type battery type systems. And that's all I got this evening, so now we can spin it around and let everybody else share what they've been up to in amateur radio and offer their insights on cabling, connectors, and so on and so forth. So, I heard K1HTV go. Rich, did you have everything? Did you say everything you wanted to say?
No, I just had one comment. This is K1HTV. Another comment on if you can use fire poles in the shack, and you're probably going to have more than one radio or more than one device requiring nominal 13.8 volts. You need some sort of distribution panel. I would recommend something that is fused. They have these power pole multi-connection points, distribution blocks. You can buy a Chinese one for $60. It has 9 ports on it. You can buy the PowerWorks one, a little bit more expensive, probably a little bit better quality, but still. They use blade fuses, and you can buy blade fuses. You can buy a package of them from Amazon, a box of them of probably 100 plus for very cheap, from anywhere from 1 amp up through 50 amps. And you're probably going to be using mostly 25 amps for the most of the high power radios, the 100 watt radios, and smaller ones for the small devices you might have in the shack, like preamps or Arduinos, or things that require a small power supply, 1 amp. 12-volt supply or 1-amp supply anything that needs 12 volts or is regulated down to a lower voltage but that requires 12 volts. But you probably should get some sort of connection block that is fused. As far as other things going on, I just wound up the week's worth of the 13 colonies as K2 Bravo. Ended up at midnight late Wednesday, and my total contacts were 2,204 before dupes. Of those, 122 were FT8, 6 were FM, and the balance of 2,076 were FT4. The bands that worked made 359 contacts on 40, 36 on 30 meters. The big band was 20 meters with 1,714 QSOs, all FT4, made 70 contacts on 17. 21 contacts on 6 meters, including a JA, so a JA1, JRK, worked K2 Bravo on 6, as did an EA and a, in Spain, and a guy in Croatia, and a VE2. Those are all on FT8 modes, and I made 6 Simplex frequent contacts on 2 meters. Total 2,204. Worked 48 states, missed Hawaii somehow. Worked 74 countries, ran 75 watts. On HF to a tri-bander for 10, 15, 20, of which I only use it for 20, and A3WS, which is the same brand, but for 12 and 17, using only that on 17 meters, and the 30-meter trap dipole on that same antenna. And anyway, that's the story on the K2 Bravo. It was a a good event, a lot of people, a lot of activity, and a lot of fun. And Brad also did some operating. He can probably tell you what he did. I don't think he did already, but maybe he can give us a summary. So that's it for now. Back to you, Mike. This is K1HTV.
All right, fine business. Thanks, Rich. All right, let's boogie on down. K4JNT. K4JNT, how are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. Thanks for doing the net. Good evening, all. I really don't have a whole lot to say. I kind of just got back, but I've been working some FT8s. I did get all the 13 colonies, but I did not get the three. I got one bonus station, so I don't think I did too bad. Power poles, I agree with Rich. Those work real good. Other than that, that's about it. Give it back to Net. K4JNT, back to Net.
Okay, thanks, Wayne. This is KF4TEK for the Far Center Night Technical Service Net, and we're up to Kevin, KX4KU. How are you doing tonight?
KF4TEK, KX4KU in the Net. Good evening, Mike. Good to hear your voice. Doing the Net again. Excuse me. Anyway, just one quick thing. If you didn't see the email I sent out, Field Day stuff's up on the website for your pleasure. As for your power poles and stuff, that's all I use are power poles pretty much. They are pretty much used a whole lot in amateur radio for power and things like that. Your red right roof little memory thing is great as long as you're looking at the connector the right side up, not upside down. Because no matter what, I seem to get them backwards, and then I have to undo them. And as for antenna connectors, I mean, most general purpose are the PLC-59s. You'll run into N connectors, and then in BNC connectors and SMA connectors nowadays. I don't think there's really any best way to define it other than usually for HF, it's PL-259. VHF, either 259 or an N connector. I think BNC is probably one of the best connectors, but they're just not very popular. It's just by talking off the top of my head. I haven't done much amateur radio stuff because I was playing with Field Day pictures. So I'm going to try to get back into it here soon. I've talked my limit, so I'll go back to you, Mike. KF4TK, KX4K, back to Net.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, everybody get out and look at that Field Day article that Kevin and everybody put together. All right, moving on to WD8QCN. How are you doing tonight?
4TEK in the Net, WD8QCN. Evening, Mike. Doing great. Had quite a weekend here, 28th anniversary celebration yesterday, and got my cable in the mail for the Navigator finally, so got that up and running here on HF and working VX all day. Ended up getting up really early this morning, just woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. Ended up working Indonesia, finally caught them where I could hear them. Usually I just end up hearing other people work them and not being able to hear them myself, but worked out well this morning. I was up at the right time. Totally agree on power poles. Love them. I just replaced everything in the shack with power poles. I used to have Molex connectors. That was the thing, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But the power poles have come along since and love them. And would add that, go ahead and buy the crimpers. I've got about four different sets of crimpers for all sorts of things around here. And quit buying frames. One set of frames is plenty, but you'll end up with, you know, a couple dozen dies for different things. That'd be my recommendation. Other than that, I discovered WinLink, or rediscovered it, perhaps, looking around the old packet frequencies, and managed to download that software and get active on that mode today as well. So lots of great things happening around here. Back to you, KF4TEK in the net, WD8QCN.
All right, fine business. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us and looking forward to hearing from you again. KO4, Bravo Charlie November, how are you doing?
Hello, KO4TU and the well. Well, I'm a little rusty here. KO4BCN here. I've been doing a lot of wiring type things lately. I've been making patch cables and making all sorts of things with power poles. And one thing to remember with the power poles, they are not waterproof. So make sure you pay attention to your use case before you use them. Definitely get a crimper. That's the way to go. It's the only way to go. And if you try to just mash them together or solder them, it just doesn't work very well. And if you're something to remember, too, as I figured out yesterday, I made my own distribution box with two 4-port panels from PowerWorks. And it was only, it only cost me like $30 for those, and then I found a box around the house to put them into. And then, I got them all in there, and I had to wire them all in parallel. I know I should make it fused and go an extra mile, but I didn't happen to have any fuse holders or any chassis that would use that, so that'll be version 2, I suppose. But when you put the connectors into, the blades into the connectors, make sure you weave enough wire. If you have a couple of them that are real close to each other, you're not going to have enough wire. You're going to end up having to take it all apart again. But I did buy a whole bunch of little boxes of these things, so I have drawers full of little parts now, so I can just kind of whip anything together that I need. I also keep one pair glued together that is my reference pair. So, was it right, red, roof? No, I got my reference pair. I always check it against that, and I don't use that set because I don't want to make that mistake again. That's kind of what I've been doing. KO4BCN, back to net.
All right, very good. Yeah, Roger the waterproof. That's definitely a good point. Very good. All right, down to KS1PPY. Sippy, how are you doing tonight?
Hopefully one of the repeater guys can figure it out.
There we go, it's back. All right, so we had a brief repeater outage. Don't know why. I hope there's nobody up there working on it while we're using it. I wouldn't want them to be exposed. But all right, we were down to Sippy. Let's try Sippy, KS1PPY, see if you're there. KO4LUA, how are you doing tonight?
Shot part of his call. You only got to put a couple letters up.
Okay, KO4LUA, Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Uniform Alpha. Are you out there? How you doing tonight?
Yeah, KO4LUA, gotcha. As far as wiring and connectors, all I've worked on this week is coax. trying to fix some coax connectors. So no big deal on that. As far as my work this week, I finally got my WSJTX going, so FTA's been going good. I've made some good connections. I've hit out west where I have not been able to before, and hit down in Brazil and Trinidad, and feel good about all that. Other than that, everything's going good. That's about all I got to report. That's about it. So back to you, F4TK, KF4LUA.
Okay, fine business. Congratulations on the increased reach, and good luck to you going forward. All right, KN4, STL. Bob, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, F4TK in the net from KN4, STL. Doing well tonight, Mike. Good to hear you running the net. Let's see, I think everything's been covered on the power poles. That's what I use for all my rigs, is the Anderson power poles. I got the crimp, the 15, 30, and 40 amp crimper, so yep, that's what I use on most of my stuff. What I've really been up to of late is just getting to know this IC9700. Been taking it kind of slow. Today I got a WSJTX up and running, and got the spectrum scope calibrated the way I like it to look. So it's a pretty complicated rig here for a VHF/UHF rig, but I'm liking it. Just getting to know it. So that's what I've been up to. And that's about all I got. This is KN4 SPL back to net.
Okay, Bob, sounds great. Congratulations on the new rig. Don't know if I knew that you had that. I'm trying to listen to myself to see if I'm coming into the machine. Seems like we're okay. This is KF4TEK for the Far East Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and we're up to KM4OZH. Gil, how are you doing tonight, sir?
KF4TEK, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Mike, and everybody on the net. And, I'll throw in there on the power poles. I use them for power connections exclusively in my mobile rig, and I've only had one failure. Of course, that stuff gets unplugged and when the equipment gets put in and out of the car, and I had one that became intermittent, so I had to take a little tiny screwdriver and disassemble it and bend the contact a little bit, and that brought that back to life. I don't know whether I bent it on the initial assembly or whether that was a problem, don't know, but anyway, that was pretty easy to figure out. And and I solder all my connections to those. If the wire doesn't fit the terminal exactly right, well, I squeeze it down just a little bit, but I solder it because I'm too cheap. I'll reuse that stuff. Take it off and put it on something else. So, but what I've been doing this evening is making up some LMR240 patch cables to run between coax relays that have BNC connectors. So this is my first experience on assembling BNC connectors, and they are a clamp on with a nut on the shield, and the center pin is soldered. But little tiny stuff, but it all seems to be working. And but that's about all I got for this evening, and it's KM4OZH. Back to net.
Okay, Gil. Yeah, thanks for that. Interesting. You're the first person I've heard that said that he solders their power poles. Wow, brain freeze. So, be interested to maybe take a survey about that later. Well, very good. Thanks for joining us, and I hope to hear more from you soon. We're down to N7IVV. Brad, how are you doing tonight, sir?
K4TK, N7IVV. Well, when I checked in earlier, I had nothing to talk about, but I've made a whole list now, so you guys are in trouble. First of all, power pole distribution panels. I found, and I've noticed that they have been advertised on QRZ.com also, a fella, N9JEB, that's November 9, Juliet Echo Bravo, makes some little devices, and they're quite small. I don't know, those of you that came up to look at the system I brought to the club meeting on Thursday would have seen, maybe you didn't notice, but I've got one actually screwed to the outside of my big battery case to use as a distro. But the basic unit comes with five outputs, obviously a single input, and they're all power poles, and it is fused. It's got a single fuse for the whole bank. And I can't remember, it comes with a fuse, it looks like maybe 30 amps or something like that. But the beauty of it is that you're only looking at, I don't know, $20 or something like that. And that he even has, it's an add-on, which I think is included in the $20 version, a little 3D printed mounting case, he's calling it, and even a little voltage readout that's designed to mount to everything. And it's a slick little device, and it gives you, like I said, it gives you five outputs. He's also got some other varieties with USB modules and whatnot. So definitely check that out. It's he's actually improved his stuff a little bit. So that's November 9, Juliet Echo Bravo, JEB. Let's see. Speaking of club meeting, it was good to see as many people as we did. It looks like we had a count of 25 bodies. And that was great. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. I guess we had 8 people trying to get on WebEx, and I apologize. I had brain freeze. I mean, I got there early to get all that set up and then space the WebEx connection. So we did get it up eventually, but it really wasn't very functional. Red Right Roof. The roof, looking at this, refers to the connector. So as you're looking down into the connector, and this is actually when you're putting them together, because they slide together in, they've got, I don't know, basically a tongue and groove type of a little device on it. And the roof is the actual connector. So red goes on the right, the roof goes on top. They also, by the way, Anderson, I guess, makes some little clips that you can get that go in those holes. You'll notice that they actually have holes. When you're putting a pair of them together, they've got little, there's a name for them, suddenly it's escaping me, the little pins that you push down in those holes, and it locks those two together so they don't slide apart. Well, when you push those connectors, you know, when you plug them into something else, you know, they're not the tightest thing in the world. So if there's any chance of things vibrating loose, they do have a little clip that you can snap down. It holds power poles together, and they have them in various numbers, because you can stack these things up into as many little banks as you want. Sound like I'm marketing things, don't I? Soldering. I used to think that you had to solder everything. I just felt more comfortable. But, you know, as I've been going along here lately, apparently crimping is not, it's good. And I don't know, you know, if you solder those power poles together without crimping them, sometimes they actually get too big and don't fit in there properly. And so I don't know, it's just to solder or not, I guess, is almost a personal question or personal decision. One other thing, I've been working on my little portable satellite station. I've been actually trying to design a new bracket to hold the antenna on that allows me to actually rotate the antenna from vertical to horizontal polarization. That's been an interesting project this week. But the other thing is, I was trying to find a radio that actually is really full duplex that I can use for single sideband stuff on those antenna satellites. And there just really isn't anything out there. And the best thing I could find was the IC9700 that Bob has. And first of all, it's too big, really. And then I looked at the price tag and I said, I don't need that. And I'm not going SOTA. At best I might go POTA. And so I can lug my old FT346 over to the table and set it up for doing that. So, you know, it's heavier than anything else, but it's just too bad. The FT817 is a great little rig, but it's not full duplex the way that you need it to be full duplex. The last thing I'm going to mention here is that just something to think about, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're going along and they missed one word and they'll say, you know, which flavor soda is that you say that you didn't like? And then they repeat the entire sentence again. That's kind of useless. And so it's the same thing is kind of true when you're talking about ham radio. When somebody, you know, comes back and for whatever reason there was interference, especially if you're on single sideband, and somebody says, I missed your suffix, give me your suffix again. It really is not very good to give your whole call again, because that just confuses the situation. And frankly, if there's been interference, what always happens is that the other person hears the first part of your call again and then still doesn't hear the suffix. So if somebody asks for a certain portion of your call, just give them that portion of your call, because that's all they really need. And, you know, you just run the risk of just making it worse to not just give them the short portion. That's it. I'm done. Thanks, Mike. Good to have you back with us. N7IBB, back to net.
All right, Brad. Thank you very much for that. All of that. Good collection.
This is KF4TEK for the Far Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and that is the bottom of our list. Let's go back and see if Sippy's alive. Sippy, KS1PPY, are you there?
KF4TEK and the net, KS1PPY. Two false starts. Let's try this. How is it coming, over?
Sounds super duper.
Okay. I don't know what happened the last time around. I had two false starts. First one, I was talking for a while, and then the next one, everybody said they couldn't hear me, so... Now I can't even remember what I was going to say. I was going to say something about solar panels having MC4 connections, which is most solar panels having an MC4 connection. I personally will throw another bit in for the power poles. I like them because I have the crimpers for them and I can get the connectors for them. But as was pointed out, they're not waterproof, so it's usually best to use them inside. And just find a way to convert your MC4s over to power poles for your collections. So I think most battery charging systems have MC4 that you can put in there. And another vote for Mike's little voltage connectors. Other than that, had a real good time with the 13 Colonies event. Got all the stations and the bonus stations, and just sent away for my certificate. And I'm all excited and jazzed for that one. And a quick turnaround trip to West Virginia I was able to fix the wires that got broken before, and made a bunch of contacts from West Virginia and caused a lot of confusion. But other than that, not much else going on. I'll turn it back over before I break something else. KS1PPY, back to net.
Okay, Sibby. Well, I don't think we'll blame you for the repeater failure tonight yet, but. Thanks for that. Yeah, MC4s, man, those things are waterproof, but boy, are they hard to get apart. I got MC4s in my solar panels, and I cut the other ends. I cut the inside ends off and just screwed down the wires into the charging terminal, which had terminal blocks. But even if it didn't, I would have put power poles on it. All right, that's the end of our list for sure. Let's make a quick round for new check-ins and rechecks. If you would like to join us this evening or just add a little bit, now is the time to call.
KO4 NLV, in and out, please.
K4 JNT.
KO4 BCN.
KO4 LLC, in and out.
Kilo Delta 4 Romeo Echo Echo.
All right, who picked up? KO4 NLV, K4 JNT, KO4 BCN, and KO4 LLC, and KD4 REE. Now, one of those folks was in and out, but I missed it, so let's go ahead with the new folks. KO4 NLV, were you in and out?
That's affirmative, in and out. Thank you.
Okay, there it was. All right. KO4 LLC, how are you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful. Good to hear everyone on the net tonight. I just had my first experience with trying to convert a hamstick into something I can use on the ground, and I successfully got my counterpoises done with lamp cord, and it bounced right out to a 1.5.
All right, awesome. Well, congratulations.
KO4 LLC, back to them.
Okay, fine business. Well, thanks for joining us, and good luck on the antenna project. Sounds like it's working out pretty well, and it's always exciting when those things come together. So thank you for sharing, and share more in the future. All right, KD4REE, how are you doing tonight?
This is KD4REE. Well, I'm checking in to do an audio check, and it looks like you can hear me okay. Reason I'm just checking my radio is the folks in Woodbridge says I was really noisy into the repeater, but I think there might be something wrong with the repeater or some weird propagation, but it looks like my setup is working okay, and I haven't changed anything, I don't think, but I can tighten the coax cable connections again. Other than that, thanks for letting me check in and do the quick audio test. Back to the control from KD4REE in Springfield.
All right, well, you sound good. Your signal is full quieting. Your deviation is a little bit low, so if you wanted to get closer to the mic or talk a little louder, those would both bring up your audio level a little bit. And otherwise, sounds great. So, K
keep on doing what you're doing. We did have a little burp with the repeater earlier, not entirely sure what was going on there, but as for the moment, sounds great. Thanks for joining us. All right, K4JNT, go ahead.
Yeah, I do have a question. But who do we send the 13 colonies so we can get a certificate? K4JNT, back to net.
Does anyone have the answer to Wayne's question?
KS1PPY.
All right, go ahead, Sibby.
If you go on to the 13 Colonies website, there's a page that lists out the log and gives you the address. You do have to print it out either on one of the log sheets that you can download from it, or they have an ADIS converter page that'll give you one to print out. And then you send that in a money order and a little envelope that they can, an address label that they can affix to a thing to send back to you. But that's on if you do 13 Colony search on Google, and then when you get to their page, you'll see where it says logs. That has all the instructions for sending it in, over.
You want HTV?
Go ahead, Rich.
Not just money order, but they request a donation of $5, cash, check, or money order, payable to, and if you check at the bottom of the page on the log sheet, it'll tell you who to make it out to. But, yeah, use their sheet. It's available at 13colonies.us/log sheet. 13colonies.us/logsheet. It'll get you right to all the information you need. HTV.
All right, thank you, Sissy. Thank you, Rich. And I'll just point out, Wayne, if you end up getting to that website, I found the directions on how to get your certificate under the certificates menu. Has additional details, and of course, in the log sheet is where Rich said it was. So good luck with that. Rain, does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Awesome. Another satisfied customer. All right. KO4BCN. Go ahead, sir.
Back to KO4BCN here. Back to the MC4 connectors. Yeah, those are fun. My solar setup is portable, so I am always disconnecting and connecting it. So I added, I've got a really long extension cord and some other stuff to make it flexible. But then just put a set of power poles at the other end where it plugs into the van on the inside. So you can still stay with the waterproof stuff. A lot of the time, I just bought the really long one-ended wires with the MC4 connectors and then put the power poles on the other end. So I wouldn't have to kind of mess around with trying to crimp those or whatever, because they required yet more tools that I didn't have. KO4BCN, back to net.
All right, KO4BCN, thank you for that. Yeah, another good tip. Sounds like good advice. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. All right, let's fix this. This is KF4TEK for the Farnet. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. If you would like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org. Or, you know, you could also send an email to faranet@w4va.org. That's FARANET at w4va.org.
I think you missed a couple of doubles when you're taking the last check-in list.
Well, sometimes that happens. Is there anybody else out there who has not yet checked in who would like to say anything this evening? All right, we'll call it a night. This is KF4TEK. Again, closing the Farnet and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thank you all, and good evening. 73.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the net. Doing the net. Good to hear you back on, and hope everything's okay at the KF4TKQTA. 73 from K1HTV. Good night.
K4JNT and 7IVV.
And 7IVV, K4JNT. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about SSTV, so I decided, oh, yeah. So anyway, if you're interested, 14.230 has got traffic tonight. And I haven't done much transmitting. I played with it a while back, but I just use MMSTV, and it seems pretty straightforward and easy to set up.
Okay, and you said it was 1430?
14230.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Brad.
1079EVK of 4TEK.
Haven't I said enough tonight?
N7IVV.
I was hoping you could tell me that, what was the name of the piece of SFTV software you're using?
It's MMSTV, which is weird because you'd think that there would be another S in it. But I guess it's one program, but it comes with MMTTY. It also comes with a space shuttle version, and I don't know why that's different than the other. But anyway, Mike SSTV.
This is W4VA repeater, TL-167.9 hertz.
Okay, I think I found it. Thank you. KF4TEK.
No, I just realized I still got those radios for you.
Oh, yeah. That will be awesome. I would love to add those to my project list. Let me get together with you offline when things are... when things are less crazy. Schedule a time to meet up with you somewhere. This week's going to be difficult, so I don't know, maybe next weekend or something.
Well, knowing you and your life, I'll schedule you in for 2020...